Kevin.
Kevin has this thing now where he likes to go 3, 2.
Yeah, it's too much.
And it's like, it's distracting, but it's especially distracting.
I never expected you to do this to me.
When he gets distracted and wants to do the thing.
No, hold on a second.
He gets caught up, doesn't even give us a 3 or 2. He literally just
goes. Didn't get distracted. There was no call of audio going live.
Okay.
So I'm playing Cool Greg.
Whose fault is that?
Cool Greg's fault.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for this beautiful Tuesday, May 15th, 2018. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the Reverend Jared Petty.
Doki doki.
Doki, motherfucking Doki. Today's a good day. It's rumors, but it's a good rumor day. Very excited about this stuff. Let's get through some of the housekeeping. Greg is at Judges Week all week, which means we're going to have a bunch of different people. Tomorrow, it's going to be me and Brian Altano.
Yes, indeed.
We'll see. I mean, you know, who knows what could happen, but the plan is for Altano to be here. I'm very excited about that.
Are you worried that he'll be like a giant eagle will swoop down from the sky when he's on his way over here?
Will there be a May 16th? We'll have to find out.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
That's very apocalyptic of you.
This episode is brought to you by Four Hymns, but we'll get to that later because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We get together, talk about video games, talk about all the video game news that you need to know about. You can get the show live on Twitch, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, or you can watch it as a VOD on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can get it as podcast services. You just need to search for Kinda Funny Games Daily. No matter how you receive this podcast, we appreciate you very much, and thank you. How you doing, Jared?
You know, I'm chipper today. Yeah. I'm having a good morning so
far. You're chipper today?
Yeah.
Have you ever not been chipper?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
I have been the opposite of chipper
many
times.
I've ever seen you.
Really? You never seen me, like, come in dragging, just feeling all crap? Oh, no.
Are you cool, Greg?
A lot. Nope. Well, I endeavor to project a personable aura, especially when on camera, but yes, I absolutely have terrible days where I am not at all happy to be anywhere.
Well, I appreciate your chip, my friend.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate the chip.
Working
Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We got 4 items today.
A baker's dozen.
There you go.
I like that song. Yeah, he's doing that. That's that little musical bit there. I love that.
All right. Here we go. First news story of the day. From the dark web itself.
Uh-oh.
We got some Pokemon rumors. Who knows if these are true? I'm believing them. I'm fucking getting hyped. This is almost exactly what I've dreamed of.
Yeah.
There's some tweaks here and there that we might have to work through. But ladies and gentlemen, let's get into this. The rumored titles for Pokemon on the Switch are as follows. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee.
Pocket Monsters.
They're back. They're fucking back, boys. So here's the deal. This has been like a very elaborate leaking over the last month, I would say.
Okay.
Where this user Pixelpar, over on Twitter, he's known for the leaks and for all that stuff, has been putting out hints in his tweets, and he's been saying that at one point when the floodgates burst open, you're gonna be able to look back at his tweets and see a bunch of hidden references to what these Pokemon games are going to be.
So he's writing some sort of like cryptogram. You're going to be able to understand it all. It's like prophecy.
The floodgates have now been busted open by 4chan and Reddit and a bunch of different places with a bunch of rumors that now he put out a video showing the different tweets and how it relates to the news that came out today.
Okay. Now, he's a leaker.
He's an industry. He's an insider.
An insider.
I don't know, leaker is a dirty word. You know what I mean? But he's an insider. He knows what's
insider.
Up. Yeah. And so now a lot of other insiders are kind of giving their perspective on all this and the things that they know and like dropping some hints. Emily Rogers is talking about that this game is going to be announced before E3 sometime this month. So that's very exciting.
Do we have a direct announcement at this point?
Not yet. I imagine that there'll be a direct announcement and then the it'll be a Pokemon Direct and it'll be the next day or the day after. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Nintendo's been what they've been doing in the last couple months with these Directs. So here are the rumors we got for you.
All right.
They're Yellow remakes for the Switch. So Pokemon Yellow remakes. There will be 2 versions, Pikachu and Eevee. Red and Blue, the characters, will play a role in the story. You and your rival are new trainers.
Okay, so you're not playing as Red, not playing as Blue.
And so I'm going to stop here. This is interesting to me because what I want is a Red and Blue too.
Sure.
That's the dream, the Tim Geddes hype dream, right?
Yeah.
This is clearly saying that it's Yellow remakes, but having Red and Blue be part of the story, it's interesting. So it's more maybe a reimagining of Yellow, which is interesting, less interesting than what I would have originally wanted.
Do you find that less interesting? You just want a straight red, straight blue?
Well, no, I mean, I find the less interesting because I feel like this is just straight. Like, I feel like this is just again. I would rather a continuation. I would rather it's been 15 years since the events of Pokemon Red and Blue. Mm-hmm. Imagine, like, Kanto was hit by a tsunami or something happened so that, like...
This is a dark Pokemon future. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Is
like, so give excuses for why the region might be different.
Okay.
You know? Or, like, added to. And it doesn't need to be all dark stuff. Like,
Fukushima Daiichi of Kanto doesn't at all sound like something I think they're going to lean into.
A city, like maybe, like, there's a new city that rose up or, you know, like, one of the mountains was turned into a city. I don't know. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, there could be some cool stuff.
You change the world some, sure.
Yes. All right, following Pokemon Return, so that was a feature last seen in Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, my favorite in the franchise. HMs are still replaced with Poké-Ride from Alola, that was from Sun and Moon, which is a great call. We don't need to waste HMs on Pokemon. I always have that kind of like just holder Pokemon running around, like
these
taking
are just,
up one
these
of your
are just
spots.
Words to me.
Yeah.
You might as well be speaking Finnish right
well,
now.
Well, this is all good news, Jared.
Yeah.
All
some of this news. I understand. Like, I have Poke context, but as we've discussed before, Pokemon is maybe my biggest gaping hole in gaming.
Jesus, that's a way to put it. Pokemon Go integration. So that's pretty interesting, especially with the name Let's Go in the title.
Mm-hmm.
Rewards in-game and in-Go for linking the two together.
That makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. New accessory can be used for both Go and the games. There's an online has a hub for players, and there'll be an announcement soon releasing this year.
Everything here makes a lot of sense. This is a kind of game fans are going to want. Old fans, new fans. What I don't see here, but with the Go mentions, original 150, is that what we're thinking? Because of Go? If we're going to have Go integration, we got to have our 150,
if
right?
If it's Yellow remakes, I mean, it would take place in Kanto, so you imagine it's
or 151, however we want to
put it. 151, man.
Yeah, we got to get that extra in there.
I imagine it'll be, at the very least, focused on the 151. Will there be more? Will there be maybe go into the Johto Pokemon, so up to 251, potentially? But knowing Nintendo, they're going to want to get as many Pokemon involved as possible, just because there's more merchandising opportunities. the Gen 1 kind of nostalgia is real, and we saw it with Pokemon Go, and Pokemon Go kind of blowing up and becoming more mainstream even than Pokemon ever had been before. Yeah. And I think that integrating the Go into the Switch game could be very interesting. I hope that it's a bit more optional, and I hope that it's just because some of these rumors were talking about you catch Pokemon similarly to how you catch them in Go.
That's interesting.
So like using the touchscreen on the Switch, I'm not down for that, but you got to imagine with the Switch being able to be played on TV, that might just be like a bonus thing. Maybe you get
like an action RPG style way of playing. So yeah, and I do like this. So the Go integration actually is pretty intriguing for me. I understand Go had a lot of problems, but I think Pokemon Go realized the vision of Pokemon better than any game since the very beginning, because what made Pokemon successful and unique from its start, one was that underlying layer of depth, but two, and perhaps more importantly, was Pokemon was a game you played with your friends. Pokemon was a social game. Pokemon was about the link cable.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon was about the different versions. Pokemon Go took that idea and injected 2016 technology into it. And I think
could have used 2018 technology there.
What's that? Probably could have. And there's a lot to be said about that. But now in a fully polished, fully realized Nintendo product on a Nintendo console, and they're not going to release something that's buggy and rough around the edges, I think you could look at some kind of integration that's actually going to be really neat. And they understand that, wow, there's so much about the social aspect of this that makes it special. Let's lean into that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this being a new beginning on Switch and the first real console Pokemon, mainline RPG at least, not including Colosseum and XD.
Do we really count those?
I mean, the thing is, we should. There were good games. They just weren't the experiences that people expected.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, quality GameCube games. RPGs, like full console Pokemon RPGs. They just weren't the classic gym battles and stuff that
people
expected.
Where do you fall on Pokemon Snap?
I'm not the biggest fan of Pokemon Snap. I know Joey is, but...
Hey You Pikachu?
Hey You Pikachu was an interesting rental, but not a good game. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm very excited about this. Like I said, I do. It's not quite exactly what I want, but hey, that's life, and I'm very excited about this. We got some questions.
Oh,
Rhymes with Asia writes in and says, "Hey Tim and Jared, with today's Nintendo rumor of Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu/Eevee, which Pokemon game would you rather have playable on your Switch? A remake of Yellow with Go integration for holiday 2018, or new creatures and region in Generation 8 for holiday 2019. Thanks. Love the show. Obviously, there's been a lot of debate over this because there is the G1ers that just whine and cry and only want the original stuff. And then there's the other people that are just kind of like, hey, leave that shit alone. Like, let's move. No more Kanto. No more Pikachu. No, let's move forward and get new things. The beautiful thing about Nintendo Switch right now is I guarantee we're going to get both. And I think we're going to get both pretty back to back. I wouldn't be surprised if we get the Kanto games 2018 and then the next gen 2019 or 2020.
Maybe give it a little time to simmer.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit more. But like, I do, we're going to get a lot of Pokemon games on the Switch. Yeah. I imagine that there's a potential for multiple gens on the Switch in addition to multiple remakes. I wouldn't be surprised to see this Kanto game this year, then a couple years, like not even a couple years, like less than 2 years down the line, getting a proper Gen 8, then at some point getting a Diamond and Pearl remake, like then another generation. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of Pokemon because that's how you turn the Switch from the console experience to a handheld.
And that's the Tim Geddes agenda.
Yep, right, that's the Tim Geddes agenda.
That's what he's got to make happen.
Yeah, so those are my thoughts on that. Tarani Thomas Rex says, good morning, KFGD crew. This morning, I've been seeing rumors and headlines about the title of the Pokemon games for Switch, and the hype train is full speed ahead. If the rumors are true and the new Pokemon titles are Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, do you think we could be looking at a remake of Yellow, where in the Pikachu version you take control of Ash and Red, and in the Eevee version you take control of Gary and Blue? Honestly, I love the idea of being the rival, and I'm full on Team Eevee if these rumors are true. Umbreon all day, son. But with Let's Go in the title, do you think this is any indication that Pokemon Go had influence in the design changes of the games? I'd love to know what the hype man Tim Geddes thinks of the direction the new Pokemon games could go in. Smell you later. It's a good reference there.
Hype man, what do you think?
Based off what we know from the leak, I don't think that you'll play as Ash or Gary, Red or Blue, because it said that they'll just be in the story. And I think that even if you choose Eevee or Pikachu, it would still be the protagonist. You wouldn't be playing as the rival. I don't think it'll change the story that drastically.
Okay.
I do love the callback to Pokemon Yellow. Pokemon Yellow was a great game, and I love the idea of being able to choose Eevee excites me. Eevee's one of my favorite Pokemon, so I'm excited about that. I just can't believe this is real, and I mean, it's not real yet.
But so you think it's going to happen?
I do think this is going to happen. I think there's too much pointing to this, and it's crazy that back-to-back days we get the Star Fox leaks and then this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think this is going to happen. There was a leaked screenshot that was proven fake at some point that looked like somebody riding a Lapras with an Eevee on its head, like surfing. And the graphics looked very similar to a up-resed Sun and Moon.
Okay.
So everyone was like, oh, I don't know about that. But now that we're getting this Eevee information, like seeing the Eevee on the head and the rumors that the Pokemon will follow you again, I'm like, oh, like maybe that screenshot was real.
Oh, interesting.
And I do think that if they're getting the game out this soon, I think a lot of people, when the game is fully revealed, are going to be let down visually.
You think so?
I do. I think there's going to be a big uproar.
Well, Pokemon's never been about visual fidelity, really. That's not its MO, is it? I mean,
no. But you know, with the Switch, and especially with this new beginning, I think people are expecting a lot, and I think they're expecting a Breath of the Wild style revolution. And,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not an expectation that I had picked up on, but I trust you on this.
Yeah.
Like, Pokemon is not my world.
I think people are definitely expecting that. And I think that there's a chance that we'll get that later in the Switch's life.
Mm-hmm. What I expected was kind of a jump from Final Fantasy 1 US to Final Fantasy 2 US, which is, you know, it just looks like a slightly better version of what I've already seen. The difference between 1 and 4. Everything's a little sharper, but it's still going to have rough edges because it's a Pokemon game.
Yeah.
And Pokemon games difference, are never though, particularly pretty.
The difference between the 3DS and an HD console, it's a big jump.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's going to look like a 3DS game. I don't think I can get away with that.
Yeah, but I do think the graphic style is going to be similar to Sun and Moon, but just with a like widescreen HD.
Well, that's what the models are built stuff for. But
So,
I don't think they're going to be jagged.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. But I hope it still doesn't have that washed out look that Sun and Moon had. I didn't really like that.
No.
But we'll see how this goes. But yeah, I do think that there's going to be a lot of bitching and moaning when the game is actually revealed.
Turns out it's actually 4K. It somehow magically transformed your Switch into a 4K machine when you download
That's
it.
That's the
right
future.
There. Yep.
Next news story. We got those Rage 2 details.
Rage.
This comes from IGN. Rage 2 will be released in spring 2019 and will be a fully open world game its developers describe as a shooterverse. Revealed in a press release alongside the game's first gameplay trailer, the game will cover a variety of post-apocalyptic terrain, from lush jungles and treacherous swamps to sun-scorched deserts. The game returns to the original's focus on both over-the-top gunplay and vehicle combat, with upgradable guns, nanotrite powers, currently we only know of a devastating slam attack and a lethal energy push, and overdrive, the ability to push your guns beyond their mechanical limits.
Boy, that is sure some marketing copy shooterverse. In those quotes right there.
Bethesda's calling it more than a shooter, more than an open world game. It's a shooterverse. An asteroid has annihilated 80% of the Earth's population, and humanity's numbers are dwindling. Ruthless and bloodthirsty gangs roam the open roads, and the tyrannical authorities seek to rule with an iron fist. Oh, my God.
Can we just have a show here on Kinda Funny where we dramatically read marketing copy press releases? I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Ruthless and bloodthirsty gangs roam the open worlds. Oh, I read that. As Walker, the last ranger.
Wait. Oh, okay. Take back everything I just said. If there's a guy named Ranger Trevette in this, I am all in. Like, Walker, oh.
As Walker, the last ranger of the wasteland and a threat to their power, you have been robbed of your home and left for dead. Now you'll have to rage for justice and freedom. With ludicrous vehicle combat, super-powered first-person mayhem, and an open world full of emergent madness, you will tear across an unforgiving wasteland, battling sadistic gangs to find the tools and tech needed to crush the oppressive rule of the authority once and for all. All right, so that seems all to be it for official information at the moment. Bethesda points out that the next time it'll be showing off Rage 2 will be as part of its E3 showcase on Sunday, June 10th. After leaking, Rage 2 was officially announced yesterday. The game brings together id Software and Avalanche Studios and will be released for PS4, Xbox One, and PC. So that's an update from yesterday id is working with Avalanche.
Yeah, it is. All I can hear is Chuck Norris singing the theme song to his own TV show. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The eyes of the ranger are upon you. Oh, it was just... Why did they let Chuck Norris sing his own theme song? That shouldn't happen. All right.
Why wouldn't they?
So that was the most press release I've read in some time.
Here's the thing, though. That press release and that kind of tongue-in-cheek understanding of what it is with the trailer, it goes hand in hand. This is a goofy game.
Yeah.
Goofy fun.
Look fun. It looks colorful. Looks energetic. I like the focus on vehicle combat in particular. You have to design a very different kind of level if you're going to have vehicle combat work with on-foot combat in the same arena. Because, you know, there really is a design challenge to having people close enough together that they can engage in what feels like something besides sniping, while at the same time having room for vehicles to move around and be a part of what's happening. I think that's the single most interesting thing I've seen about Rage so far, is that that's what they're leaning into. I have no idea if they'll pull it off. My suspicion is yes, because Bethesda tends to pull things off when they put a major investment into it. But that's intriguing because there are very, very few video games that do ground combat and vehicle combat in the same arena as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd love to see a contemporary AAA game really nail that.
Yeah, definitely. Another detail they had. So spring 2019, interesting move for Bethesda. We got a question from Dogs Should Vote. Again, my favorite username I've ever seen. Jared and Tim, the hype man Gettys. Today, Bethesda had their gameplay reveal trailer for Rage 2, and I realized something. This game isn't due out until 2019, thus ending Bethesda's recent track record of announcing and releasing five-ish months later. Do you think they need the extra time to push the marketing of the game? I'd love to hear your take. Thanks for the awesome content that fills my ear holes Monday to Friday every week.
It is different than what they've done before. I strongly suspect, without any proof whatsoever, and based only on other encounters with publishers and developers covering games, that the reasons are not based on feeling like they need more time for the marketing. I suspect that another internal reason that we will never know resulted in that date being chosen. I don't think it's because they feel like they need more time for selling it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like the plan would have been to have this reveal at E3, but they had to make it early and they rolled with the punches there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've seen, I guess Prey was announced and it wasn't released within 5 months. Like, there was a much longer lead up for that one. I think it was
It wasn't too long, I don't think, but it's still...
Wasn't it like almost a year?
But there's a... I think more importantly with that...
It was like 11 months.
You setting that date, there's so many moving parts that go into setting a date for a final release. Just the partnerships you have to consider. Mm-hmm. For example, once they put that date down there in the wild, all the retailers they're working with, all the agencies they're working with, all the advertising and television deals they made, that all has to be locked down. Mm-hmm. And there's a tremendous number of people involved in that. Somebody in marketing saying we need another 2 months to sell this is probably not going to be the most important voice in the room when all that's going on.
Yeah.
I think it's rather just a matter of here's about when we know it's done. Here's our campaign plan. Let's get it out there. And this is the date we think we can sell the most copies and make the most money looking at what's going on around it.
I do think, though, like knowing Bethesda and knowing what they've been doing the last couple of years, that this is a sign that there is something we don't know and that there is going to be a game that's announced that comes out later this year.
Yeah, I would be surprised they don't have something else up their sleeve.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. I mean, I keep being like, no, there's not going to be a Skyrim. There's not going to be an Elder Scrolls game. That's coming in the way. And I still think it is. But, you know, if they did walk through the doors and just like drop that trailer, just like, oh, yeah, we're fine. Sure. I don't think it's coming yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they might even have an original. Bethesda does things like Dishonored. They might have an original IP. Mm-hmm. They might very well just be like, here's a new Bethesda
game.
Here's
something new. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Very close to E3. We'll know everything. Next news story. This comes from GameSpot. More Battle Royale in GTA 5. Rockstar has rolled out another batch of content for Grand Theft Auto 5. Along with a new selection of in-game bonuses and discounts, the developer has introduced a new Battle Royale-inspired adversary mode for GTA Online called Trapdoor, which is available to play now on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Trapdoor pits teams against each other on a floating platform that is shrinking rapidly throughout the match. Sounds very unique. Mm-hmm. Each time a player is killed, they are transported to the red zone, where they're given only a few seconds to escape to the main platform before the zone disappears and dumps everyone onto the ocean. To commemorate the launch of Trapdoor, everyone who participates in the new mode in the next few days will receive extra bonuses from now until May 21st. Trapdoor is paying out double the usual amount of GTA money and RP. You can jump into the mode either from the boot screen or by setting a waypoint to the featured adversary mode.
So GTA 5 still has a very robust online community, full of players and an incredible variety of things to do, most of which are these kind of instance-focused modes like this. I mean, if you want to drive around Hot Wheels cars on tracks in the sky, you can do that in GTA 5 now. It has moved so far beyond being a GTA game. It's just a sort of playground for choose-your-own-adventure third person to first person shooter adventure driving flyingness. Mm-hmm. It's a really kind of unique thing. There's never been anything quite like it. And so it's, I think they were wise enough to be like, well, how do we make a battle royale inspired mode that's going to be quickly put together but also fun? Well, let's put a giant thing up in the sky and just have it disappear and drop people, kind of Tron. You remember that scene in Tron where the lizard's shrinking? You know, that's a really good approach to this.
Totally.
I like that. Yeah, very, very just like, hey, here's another thing to do in our really interesting world.
Yeah,
I like how they support that game.
It's been great. And you know, we've been playing it a lot for party modes, and all the different game modes are just so much fun. And this sounds awesome. We should definitely do a party mode out of this.
Yeah.
And then final news story of the day. This one's a little goofy. It comes from Kotaku. There's some poor dudes in Ohio that are getting blamed for Fortnite's problems. Like many customer support reps from Fortnite developer Epic Games, Hunter Davies has heard from hundreds of anxious, frustrated, and furious Fortnite players. The problem is, Hunter Davies doesn't work for Epic Games. He works for Epic Loot Games, a small hobby shop in an Ohio strip mall that has received a great deal of unwanted attention since Fortnite's explosion of popularity. Davies, the assistant manager at Epic Loot Games, says he sometimes plays bartender, listening to kids rage over lost games and broken weapons. Earlier this year, when the call started pouring in, Davies' first one left him winded. Quote, a kid between 9 and 16 screamed expletives at me. Fix your fucking game. Fix your service. Then he just hung up on me. Over the last few months, Fortnite has spread like wildfire, becoming one of the most popular. Okay, blah, blah, blah. We all know about that.
Yeah.
Epic Games doesn't have live phone support for Fortnite inquiries. Most players correspond with Fortnite customer service via email, and a lot of the time, those emails aren't entirely personalized. They're often constructed out of pre-packed response fragments, according to a Fortnite customer service rep who spoke to Kotaku last week. Embittered and perplexed players can't get live tech support, or is so often the case, the misguided catharsis they crave from letting some innocent customer support worker have it. After a little athletic Googling, Epic Games might morph into Epic Loot Games, which does indeed have a phone number listed. There are so many calls, pranks, angry gamers, kids who don't understand why the support doesn't have readily available method of contact. We started telling them to use the website because they can't actually talk to anyone on the phone. Davey's colleagues tried to be professional when they picked up the phone, though sometimes he says it's tough. When confused kids call looking for help with Fortnite issues, they'll sometimes console them. Other times, they can't do anything but listen in awe and explain they're just a hobby shop in Ohio.
I love this. I saw this morning. I was like, oh, can we please talk about it for a moment? Because it does touch on a lot of things. First off, these poor people. Sorry about that, Epic Loot Games. And yeah, you know what? Mom and pop hobby shops, mom and pop game shops, some of the best places in the world. You want to support them. They don't need this crap. It's not like they have a lot of time. People in those positions are very busy. It's a hard, hard job where you don't generally make a lot of money in the moment. And what you are making, you're scrambling for. And the last thing you need is angry teenagers screaming at you. But it also says something about entitlement and the way we treat the people on the other side of this industry. Now, we pay money for a product. I do believe we have a right to expect good service. I think that's fair. I think that if we purchase something and we can't get our joy out of it because it doesn't work correctly, and then we can't find a way to get anything but a robo response, that is frustrating. It's what we choose to do with that next step. It's important. Yeah. What do you think, Tim?
No, you're nailing it right on the head. It's so funny that this is a real situation we're dealing with. Also, Epic Loot, whatever, Games is a horrible name. fucking name.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I just, like, kids are so dumb. Kids are so fucking dumb.
Well, to be fair, so are we.
So are we. I hope that this stops. We don't know when it's going to stop for this mom and grop shop, Jared. Maybe one day.
Maybe,
but until then, if we wanted to know what games were coming to those shops, where would we look?
We'd look at the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, it's Tuesday. Big old list of games.
Yep.
First off, Jared, what do we got?
Shin Megami Tensei, Strange Journey,
Redo. How excited are you? You seem like you put this on the dock in all bold and it says motherfucking Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey Redo.
I would never write anything
doesn't
like
sound
that
like you.
In our doc. Doesn't sound like me at all. Yeah, okay, look, this is a great game. Or it's based on a great game. Let me put it that way. Shin Megami Tensei Strange Journey, for those of you not familiar with Megaten, is from the same series that Persona comes out of. We know those Persona games are real good. Well, so are most of the Megaten games. Strange Journey was a DS game many years ago that did not get a wide distribution. It is one of the best Persona Megaten Universe games ever made. Superb. It's a 3D out-of-the-eyes dungeon crawler, and instead of being about angsty teens, and I'm all into the angsty teen drama Persona, it's about a group of explorers in Australia, or not Australia, primarily, a group of explorers in Antarctica that stumble onto something really, really weird, kind of John Carpenter's It style, and get sucked into the Persona-verse. It's really neat.
Okay.
It's a great, fascinating story, incredible mechanics, great RPG, and now it's been re-released on 3DS, and so a lot of people that didn't get a chance to play it before, getting a shot now. My copy will be waiting for me when I get home tonight. Definitely talking about that on Gamescast this week.
Hell yeah. Next up. Motherfucking Animal Super Squad on PlayStation 4. Now, let me tell you guys about this one. All your animal friends are there. There's the giraffe. There's the... No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the fuck this is.
I got really excited.
Yeah, I have no idea what Animal Super Squad is. A Semblance Oversight on PlayStation 4. Azura Reflections. And good Lord, Reflections. Spelled with an X.
With an X. That's right.
On PlayStation 4.
At least it's
4.
Not two X's.
Battle... Or three, you know what I mean? Battle Chasers Night War on Switch. Descenders. Xbox One. Dragon's Crown Pro on PS4.
Ooh.
Forgotten Anne.
Ooh, Dragon's Crown. Dragon's Crown. Can we just like
go
that
for it.
Game? Do you like Dragon's Crown?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. Beautiful. So, hey, Dragon's Crown Pro. If you didn't play Dragon's Crown, you missed something. Go
you
play
did.
It.
Something special. Goner on PS4. Hitman Definitive Edition on PS4.
Ooh.
Horizon Chase Turbo on PS4 and PC. Little Witch Academia Chamber of Time on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. My brother got hella excited right there. Just sat up.
I love that show. They're making a game for Xbox One?
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah, it's out today. Little Witch Academia, Chamber of Time.
It's hella good.
We're waiting for that Cool Greg review.
Oh man, on Gamescast we're gonna need it, Greg. Magic Knight Grand Cherion on PS4, Monster Slayers on PS4, Omen Sight PS4 and PC, The Adventures of Elena Temple on Switch. All right, that's weird. Walden, a game on PS4. The title is just Walden, comma a game.
I like that. Not to be confused with the Henry David Thoreau classic.
Yeah, exactly.
Or the B.F. Skinner psychology book.
What the fuck, man? Right. Welcome to Hanwell, PS4. Wizard of Legend, laziest game name I've ever fucking heard on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC.
That's like Realm of Quest. That's so good.
Man. And today, Miramar is now in PUBG Mobile. Yeah. The Miramar map. Yeah. So that's a fun little thing. Some new dates for you. Mario Tennis Beta is coming. Nintendo has revealed the dates for an upcoming Mario Tennis Aces tournament, which is being used as an early access beta for the game. Players will be able to hit the court starting Friday, June 1st at 8 a.m. Pacific. The beta ends on Sunday, June 3rd at 4 p.m. Pacific. Playable characters for the beta include Mario, Bowser, Peach, and Yoshi, with single-player and online tournament modes available. 5 secret unlockable characters will also be available by gaining points in the beta tournament and advancing through the online stages. Those who play the beta will also receive Mario's trademark dungarees in the main game as a free cosmetic unlock. What are dungarees?
I don't know. They're like pants, aren't they? Like their overalls.
I guess.
I believe dungarees are overalls.
Mm-hmm. Mario Tennis Aces. Let us know. You're wrong. Mario Tennis Aces is set to launch exclusively on Nintendo Switch this June 22nd.
Chain Chomp or GTFO.
Yeah, there you go. US Gamer reports good news if you're on the lookout for a big new RPG to play on your Xbox One, as Bandai Namco has announced the Divinity Original Sin 2 is coming to the Xbox Game Preview Program for free. Beginning on May 16th, Divinity Original Sin 2 will be available for all Xbox One owners to download through the Xbox Game Preview scheme. However, there's a catch to this. Although the download for the game will be free, you'll only be able to play the first 3 hours of the RPG before being booted out.
So you can try it out too. It's effectively a demo.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
3 hour demo, that's not bad at all. Okay. That's a lot of gameplay for
yes, nothing. It is. Now it's time for reader mail, but before we get there, I want to let you know that this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by 4Hymns. Now, Jared, you're a very bald man.
I am.
But you weren't always a very bald man.
I was not. I once had flowing locks.
Really?
If you could believe it, I had flowing locks. I once had a GDC scale ponytail.
Oh, man. Were you wearing jorts?
Huh? I was not wearing jorts.
Okay.
No jorts for Jared.
4hymns.com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss, well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. There's no waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hymns.com, not having to deal with all of that. Nobody likes to deal with that. You like dealing with that, Cool Greg? Cool Greg doesn't like dealing with it. It's super easy. You answer a few quick questions and the doctor will review and prescribe you what you need. Products are shipped directly to your door. All the hassle right out the window. You know what I mean? Direct right to you. This is great. Andy and Nick have both been dealing with these issues for a very long time, and they've been using 4hymns to help them out. The process was super easy for them. They have people going back and forth with them, trying to find like the exact products they need, what's working, what's not working. They're all about it. They feel a lot better and more comfortable with themselves dealing with this 4hymns stuff. You can order now. You can get a free trial. Let me take that a step back. You can order now. You get a trial month of hymns for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. That would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. So you should just go to 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. That's FORHIMS.com/gamesdaily. 4hymns.com/gamesdaily. Keep your hair. Let's get to the reader mail.
What's up, readers?
This might be a real short episode, Jared.
You know what? Well, that's all right.
It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's been a good one.
Yeah.
But I definitely underestimated how quickly we were going to get through the news.
You know what? Sometimes I think the fans might appreciate an episode where my verbosity.
There's some brevity.
Does not stretch us out
mm-hmm.
to interminable lengths.
We'll see. We still got the questions.
That's true. I could rant about something for 20 minutes.
A guy from Canada writes in and says, "Hello, Tim and Jared. Do you guys think it's possible that because Black Ops 4 doesn't have a campaign, they might just stick that Modern Warfare 2 remaster in its place? That way, we still get a new multiplayer experience and there's still a single player component attached to the game." Also, Tim, in an earlier episode, I said it would be cool if Retro was making Star Fox, and you made a scoff face. Now you seem to be on board and excited by the idea. Why the turn of heart? Thanks. Keep on hopping and blipping. Two questions there.
Hopping and blipping. That was nice.
This is a Jerry Petty reference. Let's start with the Modern Warfare 2 remaster. What do you think?
I don't think they're going to stick it in there, no. I think they'll sell that as a separate product because I think they think they can get away with that. It's a Call of Duty multiplayer game. Most people are playing for multiplayer anyway. They'll deliver, or they're hoping they'll deliver a really high quality, addictive multiplayer product, and everybody will immediately forget that they ever wanted a campaign. I think that's probably the impetus behind this. It's harder and harder to produce slick AAA experiences that have the artistic merit that people are craving, and this is one way to make that tenable, affordable, and make it more of a games as a service thing. Mm-hmm. That single player mode just feels more and more optional internally, is my guess. And I don't feel like that they see a lot of evidence that they have to give you something with it, especially when they can just sell a Modern Warfare 2 remake on its own and make even more money. Your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right there. It's weird that there's not a campaign. Like, I feel like that's, and people are very upset about that, and I understand it. I feel like we've been going this direction for a long time, and I'm sure they've had meetings. I'm sure they're looking at the data of how many people play the campaign versus how many people never even touch it.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm sure they're looking at data too, and they're thinking about what it takes to get what they know. You know, they have ideas about what most of their players want, and I think most of their players are first and foremost interested in playing with their friends online, and they probably have data to back that up. There's another element of this too. I've played COD. I'm not a huge COD guy, but I'm not especially impressed with most of the single player campaign stuff over the last
really?
Few years.
The last few years, okay.
And yeah, I mean,
because I mean,
you go back, yeah, it's very different.
Modern Warfare is super good, but I mean, there's people really do enjoy and love the spectacle of the Call of Duty campaigns. I feel like I agree with you in the sense that you know they've tried the getting the big name actors. You know, they got Jon Snow, like they got.
What I'm going to remember is I will never forget Kevin Spacey,
yeah,
and me, like him leaning out a window and me cutting off my own arm so that Kevin Spacey will Hans Gruber his way to his death.
My God.
And that might be the moment where I just kind of went, you know, I don't think I care about single player in Call of Duty anymore. Maybe, but I do. I'm a single player campaign guy. I'm much more likely to play a single player or something than multiplayer. So, of course, I don't want to see single player campaign go away. But I really do wonder if I'm a vast minority on this, and that they figure, well, we'll sell Modern Warfare 2 to our multiplayer, to our single player interested people, and they'll just skip out on this one and we'll still make their money this year. I don't know.
And to address your second thing about Star Fox, you're absolutely correct about that. There's multiple reasons. One, I wasn't scoffing at not wanting it. I definitely wanted it. I was scoffing it because I didn't believe it could be possible. I thought Nintendo killed Star Fox and we weren't going to see it for years.
Nah.
And I was wrong about that. And I'm very, very happy to be wrong. What's up, Kev?
He's got the mic there. Are you going to touch the wall again? No, don't do it. Don't do it. It hurt you earlier.
Oh.
Yeah, why are you doing
so
that?
Stupid. I hate you.
I kind of like it.
That's not okay.
Oh, my God.
It's shockingly
people
fun.
Who don't know, we have a new hanging mic, but if you touch the mic and touch the metal near it, you get shocked really bad.
Which is not okay. That should not be in this room.
It's not shocking is the wrong word. You get a small tingle on your finger that feels good.
You said to me just like an hour ago, wow, that one really hurt.
In like a sexual way.
It's not okay.
But yeah, no, with Star Fox, it's like I definitely wanted it. I just didn't expect it to be real. And especially retro making Star Fox, way too good to be true.
Star Fox Zero was not the end of the world. Star Fox has had so many bad games at this point.
That was the one that shouldn't have been.
It is true that it shouldn't. It should have come out differently than it did.
Yeah.
I'm not as frustrated by it as a lot of people were. Yeah. But it's not the game I wanted either.
Jared, I had to fucking endure that and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 5 in the same year. It was such a hard year.
Well, wow. Pro Skater 5.
Those are two things I wanted.
That sure was a video game.
Brian writes in and says, "Hey, Tim and Jared. I was listening to the most recent Gamescast, and you all mentioned EA making another skate game. Rumors. I mean, not even rumors. Like, hype. predictions. Greg said it would be a great way for EA to get some much-needed goodwill, and I agree completely. So my question is, what are your thoughts on companies making games to appease the vocal minority? There's clearly some demand for a new skate game, looking at the past 3 or 4 years of EA's Instagram posts, but I don't think it'll have a big draw like most EA games. Would this be just another Mirror's Edge 2 situation where it comes and goes quietly? Thanks for all that you guys do. So Jared, you can't comment too much on this because of your previous employment at EA. But my quick thoughts on it, I think it would be a Mirror's Edge 2 type situation where it would make a lot of people happy. The announcement would be super hype, and there's going to be a core group of people that are all about it and will play the shit out of this, but it's not going to sell that well. However, if Tony Hawk's involved and it's Tony Hawk's Skate, I think that could be a bit of a game changer, and I feel like that could sell a lot more copies than just a Skate 4 would. But we'll see. EA is doing their little press conference at E3 in a couple weeks. Kevin, you are a sick fuck.
Still, is he touching it again?
He's shocking himself.
Kevin, this is not good, man.
Joseph H. says, hey guys, with all the leaks and gameplay rumors swirling around lately, I couldn't help but notice we still haven't heard much speculation about what Microsoft is cooking up for E3. Given the lack of exclusive titles since the release of the Xbox One, they must have something that will knock our socks off this year, right? What could it be? From everything I've been hearing, leaks and rumors and just speculation going on about E3 this year, it sounds like Sony has a very predictable showing. Where they've already talked about the big games that they're going to have there. And I'm surprised that Death Stranding and Last of Us 2 are confirmed, but they are. So we know what we're going to get there. And I feel like they're trying to set our expectations to not be too hyped for this and to expect like crazy ass announcements, especially because you have to imagine the PS4 is ramping down leading into the inevitable PS5. And with Death Stranding presumably so far out still, we don't know when Last of Us is. It'd be weird for them to kind of announce games that would push the PS4 too far out in the future, right? Nintendo, things are just leaking left and right.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a really, really solid E3 showing, and I think that it's going to be super fun. A lot of announcements.
They're
going to
give us what we want, it sounds like.
And at the very least, if they're giving us the things that we want, we'll be able to see them for the first time and not just like hear rumors about it. But I think that Microsoft is going to have an absolutely stellar press conference.
Ooh.
I think that it's going to be packed with surprises, packed with big announcements, lots of...
Packed, you say?
I think packed. I think that they're going to come super hard all over the place. And I think that we'll see like some hardware stuff. I think we'll like maybe the actual unveiling of the, not the Pro Controller, the Elite Controller 2. I think they're going to focus on software stuff.
Let's talk about software stuff. Like, let's talk about games. What are we going to see that's action?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I feel like there has to be some mention of Halo. I wouldn't be surprised to see Fable. I wouldn't be surprised to see the resurrection of something we haven't seen in a long time, like Perfect Dark or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they know they need to bring it. And I'm not so sure it's going to be a Xbox exclusive title that they bring. But I do think that there's going to be a lot of amazing games that are shown at
Microsoft. Do you think they'll lean in on the Microsoft stage to showing not necessarily exclusive or maybe timed exclusive games?
Exactly. And from third parties? I think that that's where we're going to see Avengers. I think that's where we're going to see Rockstar.
On the Microsoft stage.
I feel like that's what I'm talking about. It's like the big guns that might be on both systems, or they might get locked in exclusivity. So
this is all, I really... fascinated about what you're saying here. I do agree with you that they're going to reach out to third parties and have as much on that stage as they possibly can, and they have very, very deep pockets to make that happen. I really do feel like at this point they have not given up on the Xbox. They have far too many users to do that, but they are strategically positioning themselves to rule the next generation, and that they are already hard at work on internally producing things that are going to make a Switch-like launch take place around whatever the next Xbox is called. But there's got to be at least one or two more great exclusives left in the chamber for this generation. Honestly, I don't much care what they show as long as they show me Ori 2.
And they will.
I know that's silly.
That's definitely going to be there.
That's all I care about from that conference. I want to see Ori 2 so bad.
You're bringing up some interesting points with where the Xbox is in its life cycle. I don't know. Like, do they have another big exclusive in them? Or a big exclusive in them? Or are they just going to kind of rely on the third parties and rely on the easy wins through the rest of this generation to move on to the next. Because my reason being, talking about Star Fox Zero, that's a perfect example of one of the like, oh, Nintendo needs to put a game out, so it put that out. And I hope we don't see that with
the Xbox. Well, they're fan. I don't want to get fans of Xbox, which is a quality platform with an amazing online community and incredible features, and I love my Xbox, and so they're, that's not just a disclaimer, it's a great product. But they lost this generation. They have a very large, sustainable, profitable audience. But if we're moving toward the next console shift, if it is in fact coming as soon as we think it is, then they were the least successful or the less successful of, of the PS4, Xbox One consoles this generation by a significant margin. They're not going to abandon their fans in the course of that. They're just going to help their fans build to the future.
Yeah.
Why not go for that fresh restart at the right moment and bring everybody along with them? I don't think they're going to make their fans feel betrayed. Microsoft understands the value of its community quite a bit.
Yeah. This is the most excited I've been for Microsoft E3 in years.
Really?
Probably since like Halo 2.
Just because their back's to the wall and they got to come out swinging?
Yeah. And I think that this is the year for them to do it.
There's nothing like a good humbling in video games.
Absolutely.
To get you creative. It makes it easier inside a company to make cool things happen when you're not on top.
Yeah. So here's the deal. I need to run to take a call. So Kev's going to come. Replace me for this while Jared does the squad up and
right.
You're wrong segment.
All right, Kevin, you gonna hop over here? Do you have any vocal cords left post electrification?
I didn't hear anything you said.
All
so right. Can you repeat it?
I just making sure you had working vocal cords after you're being electrocuted. All right, good.
No. I see electrocuted denotes like I'm dead.
Yeah.
Electrocuted
just means being zapped with electricity.
Isn't that the one that means dead?
No, that's not the one that means dead.
Are you sure?
It's something that leads to death on some occasions. But you can be electrocuted and not die.
I think if you say electrocution, that means you died.
That is incorrect. Hence the term death by electrocution.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is a thing here. Are we?
Right there.
Injure or kill someone by electricity. Shock.
Okay, yeah. I see. You see the injured.
Yeah. It's very important.
But here's the thing. Wasn't injured at all. Enjoyed it very much.
You were absolutely.
I want to go back.
Yeah, your body was stimulated. You know what? This is not what the good people are paying for. What they're paying for is squad up. Why don't you read the squad up, Kevin?
No.
All right, totally. You're in right now. Let's do it. You know what? I dictate this. Make it happen.
Brady, PS4. B.D. Brady, spelled B.D.B.R.A.D.Y. I lost my clan after Destiny 2 first expansion and want to go to do the end game content. Well, that's really sad. I'm sorry. I hope that you get a new clan, a better clan. You know what I mean? I believe in you. Let's see. I've run the raid a bunch of times, but never a raid lair. Additional end game content.
I like that he explained
too, because I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
I have three characters, 350 plus. That seems like a lot, right?
That's a high number.
Yeah.
That is not a
spike. I believe that might be the highest number you can get, right?
350 plus?
Yeah.
I think that's the highest number there is.
Why? Well,
in the world.
Because it is locked at 350, right? Or am I wrong?
When I count 349, 350, 350 plus, and then I just stop.
Excellent. Yeah. And would like a solid crew to continue through the end game content with.
Well, there we go.
So, if you are on PS4, if you are damn good at Destiny 2... and you're like, hey, man, I want to beat the shit out of this game. That's one more time. B-D-B-R-A-D-Y on PS4. It will also be in the description.
All right. Let's see. What we got here?
It's
time for
you're
wrong. We got you wrong. I'm pulling it up here.
There better be some corrections on this electrocution.
Yeah.
Because one of us was wrong.
No. The answer is that you were very wrong.
I don't know.
All right. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, somebody popping in here. I'm looking for the right you're wrong. Let's see. Kebabs, Jared, Tim's probably thinking along the lines of Cinnabar Island, which was destroyed when its volcano erupted between the events of Red and Gold. Okay, that's not really you're wrong, but I get it. Ants in My Pants says, you said Little Witch Academia was out on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. It is not actually on Xbox One, only PS4 and PC. Thank you for that correction, Ants in My Pants. There we are. Let's see.
Which one's the one that means dead when it comes to electricity?
death by electricity.
No, that doesn't seem right.
All right, listen to this. Let's see. Kebab says, Jared's correct. Dungarees are blue overalls Murray currently wears. It's a more familiar term in Australia. Thank you, Kebabs. Minor correction, but Jared may find it interesting. This is from Winston Xario. Walden a Game actually is based on the Henry David Thoreau book.
Oh. Well,
now I'm probably going to play Walden a Game. Thank you.
Are you? Are you really going to play it?
What? Walden a Game?
Yeah.
A game based on the book by Henry David Thoreau?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going
to
play that.
Excellent. I'm excited to hear your review.
That guy, he wrote like a very long book about growing his bean garden and having three chairs in his house.
Oh.
And, you know, it's pretty. Did you read Walden?
No.
Life on the Pond?
No.
No? Life in the Woods?
It seems like an god-awful book.
No, it's a really good book, actually. That's the thing where he's like...
I grabbed you hoping that I still had a static electricity in me. I did not.
It was like, you know, when it came my time to die, I discovered that I had not yet lived. Like that whole thing. That's what that's from. Yeah, it's a good book. Let's see. What do we got here? Destiny's current highest level is 385. 350 is a high number, but the highest. That's from Mike.
Okay. Well, with this
Spiderface
up,
says electrocution comes from electric execution. And according to Merriam-Webster, to electrocute is to kill or severely injure by electric shock, according to Ignacio Rojas.
Okay, so we can agree that I was not severely shocked.
No, we can absolutely agree that you were severely shocked.
I was not. Look, I'm still standing. I wasn't even mildly shocked.
I'm going to go back to that.
I was
hurts.
Shocked to like a sexual arousal level.
You keep bringing that up, and I'm a little bit worried about just
my
how much you're
been
focusing.
Hard the entire since I touched the thing.
You know what? This is not what the people of the planet Earth want from us. So I'm going to say to you, my friend, good day to you. Thank you so much for watching, listening, at all, etc. Friends, best friends of the Kind of Funny community. Tomorrow's hosts are Tim and Altano. Until then.
Oh, that's really exciting.
See you next time.